This is what the Sovereign Lord says. On the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass through it. They will say, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and I will do it. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Once again, I will yield to Israel's plea and do this for them. I will make their people as numerous as sheep, as numerous as the flocks for offerings at Jerusalem during her appointed festivals. So will the ruined cities be filled with flocks of people. Then they will know that I am the Lord. The second reading is taken from John 10, verses 14 to 18, which can be found on 1076 of your Bibles. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening. Good evening. It's really a pleasure to be with you tonight, to be able to share some of the things that God is doing in Africa, and also to be able to share God's word. And I'm really pleased because just coming at the back are a couple of colleagues of mine who are from Brazil, Rafael, Agnes and Sarah. They're sitting at the back there, and they've recently moved from Brazil to go and work long term in North Africa as well. So they're basically getting out of the country for a while just to renew their visa. So they're staying in London, and they heard I was here and they wanted to come and meet with us tonight. So if you grab time at the back, and if you can speak Portuguese, even better. So it's really good to see you. Bless you. Thanks for coming along tonight. So my name's Phil. I'm with the Africa Inland Mission. I'm the senior mission advisor for AIM Europe. The wonderful part about my job is that I get to come and visit churches like this and see what God is doing in the UK, and to join in partnership with local churches to help churches in the UK partner with churches and workers in Africa so the good news about Jesus can be spread. My wife and I, we were missionaries in Thailand for 7 years. As you can probably tell, there's a bit of a Birmingham accent there, or you're probably thinking there's a lot of a Birmingham accent there. I'm currently living in Newport in South Wales. My wife and I, makes me feel really old when I say this, back in the late 90s, we went out to Thailand for 7 years as missionaries. On the day it was announced in our home church that we were going out to Thailand, one of the girls from Sunday school went home beaming with delight and said to her mum and dad over the dinner table, "Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Think of all the presents that Phil and Lynn," that's my wife, "will be able to bring back with them." Because what she'd heard in our Brummie accent was, "Phil and Lynn are going to Toyland as missionaries." So the first ever missionaries to Toyland. And one of the burdens of my heart, one of the dreams in my heart We came back from Thailand and I pastored a couple of churches. But one of the things that was really on my heart was that God would somehow use me in sending out missionaries to other countries. And that's exactly what I'm doing with AIM. I get to join with the conversation with my team and with people who are just interested in going out to Africa. And I'm looking around the congregation tonight and I can probably confidently say virtually, I would say everybody could fit the bill to going out to North Africa. If you say I'm too old, well, there's a certain country in North Africa that welcomes retirees from the UK because it's one of the few North African countries where you can have your pension paid into that country and you can go there to live. Escape the cold of the winter, go and live in sunny North Africa, contribute to the local economy, and fulfill the Great Commission at the same time of what Jesus said of going to all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Go and make disciples of all nations. So virtually everybody within earshot tonight is available for Jesus to use them in some way in the sending out of the missionaries. As I mentioned, as an organisation, we've been working in Africa for nearly 130 years now. But in recent years, we've had a big focus on North Africa, Northwest Africa, and one of the missionaries out there, I can't tell the name of the country because this is going out over social media, so if you want to know, you can ask me personally afterwards. But as will become clear later on, for security reasons, we can't mention full names and countries, but this person is in North Africa. You know him as Paul. His prayer leaflet out on the table in the coffee area calls him Pablo. So Paul, Pablo, or a few other names, but he's one of the workers that you as a church have been supporting. So I'm going to mention a little bit more about him later on. But just to put things in context, I want to show a short video of what it's like in various countries in North Africa.
I live beside the ocean. I am a fisherman. I rise early every morning with a call to prayer and go out on my boat. I love the ocean. It brings me peace and love provided for my wife's sharing. I returned to sell the cash at the market. I bargained for the best price, but it was no bargaining with fate that I catch nothing that day. If Allah wills that I catch nothing, then who am I to question his judgment? And yet, there are even more important questions that I'm not supposed to answer.
It's a terrible thing not to know. In spite of all the religious observances and the rituals and the prayers, uncertainty and not knowing the good news that Jesus has done it already and we can be set free and have new life. And as you saw on the statistics on the screen there, millions of people in Africa living like that. 200 million people from 470 people groups unreached by the gospel. In mission organisations, we call them unreached people groups because there's no viable evangelical church there. And you might say, well, Henley is unreached. Henley has got people who need Jesus, and it has got people who need Jesus. Maybe your next door neighbours don't follow Jesus, but Henley isn't unreached. The UK isn't unreached. The reason being is there's lots of churches. We've got Christian television. We've got free access to the good news of Jesus in this country. Now, people might not go to church, but it's there for them if they want it. In these countries in North Africa, there's no churches gathering like this. The number of evangelical Christians in the country is so small that they're not really able to make a dent in the religious scene yet. But our prayer is that will soon change, so that an unreached people group, there isn't really a visible church there in these countries. And less than 1% of people in North Africa are evangelical Christians. Romans 10:14 says, how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And when we see the word preaching like that, it doesn't mean standing behind a pulpit and preaching. It just literally means to go and proclaim, to go and tell, to go and announce the wonderful news that Jesus has died for them. They reckon the United Nations say that by the year 2050, round about 50% of the world's population will be African. That's a lot of people. Round about 4.5 billion people will come from Africa within about the next 30 years. And millions of them still know nothing about Jesus. In fact, in many places in North Africa, in Somalia, and in other countries as well, Christian evangelism is illegal. And that's why, for security reasons, we can't tell the full name of missionaries like Paul. That's why I would love to tonight to get my friends at the back up on the platform and to talk about what they're doing, but we can't, because things could get back to the country they're working with and it could make it dangerous for them and for the local believers there in that country. And they desperately need our prayers for protection, for God to prosper their work, for God to help them win the favour of local people. We need to be grateful to God tonight for what we've got here, for the gathering together of God's people, where we can stand and where we can sing loudly, where we can gather together as a good number of people. That's good. But in a lot of countries in North Africa, if we tried to do this, we'd be shut down by the police and we'd all be arrested. In a lot of countries in North Africa, it's just 2 or 3 people meeting together in a room somewhere, with somebody on the lookout to see if the police are coming, and if the police do come, then they'll give a secret signal so Bibles can be hidden, any Christian paraphernalia can be put away. In May of last year, so over 18 months ago, Christians in Libya were arrested, put in prison, because the missionaries were from America and their government carried a bit of political clout. Negotiations were made and the missionaries were just deported and sent out of the country. But for the local leaders and for missionaries who'd come to Libya from other parts of Africa, they're still in prison 18 months later, just for gathering together like 2s or 3s and telling people the good news about Jesus. And I'll give you another couple of examples later on as we look specifically at some of the things Paul has been doing. But I just want you to imagine tonight, if all of this was stripped away, you didn't even have maybe about a dozen people in a life group or something like that, in a home group, but there were just week by week, 2, 3, 4, 6 of you gathering together to meet with Jesus. And this is what Jesus talks about when he said you need to count the cost before you decide to follow him, because in these countries, if people do decide to follow Jesus, then they really do put everything on the line to follow him. They really have got to be prepared to pay that price for the pearl of great price and to spread the good news. And there's plenty of information on the table in the coffee area if you want to have a look at that. And I would ask tonight that one of the things that comes out of this is, please pray. Please pray for workers who are going to North Africa. Pray for them, for God to help them, to anoint them, to enable them as they learn the language, as they work with people. Because maybe your idea of a missionary is someone going out to teach theology, and we need that in other countries in Africa. But we don't need necessarily theologians to go to North Africa. But we need someone who could open a coffee shop. We need an accountant. We need someone who can get involved in the tourist industry, because you can't go to these countries as a Christian missionary, but you can go as a teacher of English. You can go as a barista. You can go as a professional, because you can go to the country, live there, learn the language, contribute to the local economy, and then do what Jesus said. Make disciples of all nations. So Paul, who is a church who supports, and we thank God for churches like yourself who've got behind workers. And on behalf of AIM, I want to thank you tonight for your prayers and financial support for Paul. The country he lives in is mainly Sahara Desert. Very arid, very dry, quite barren. Couple of large cities, and that's about it. But they love soccer. So there's a team of people from Brazil there who have opened the soccer academy as a means of outreach. There's Paul there, meeting with some local believers, just having opportunity to share. This is the one I really want to concentrate on, because a couple of weeks ago I was talking to Paul on a Zoom call. And he told me about these two guys who've recently converted from Islam. One of them, the family found out and threatened him, if you don't come back to Islam, we'll disinherit you. And they threatened him with persecution. He said, I've decided to follow Jesus. He's forgiven me. He's my Lord. But the thing that really still gets me here, 2 months after that conversation, is that for these two guys, the only Christians they know are each other and Paul. They don't know any other Christians. And yet Jesus has become so precious to them. The life he's given to them has become so real that they haven't got church. There's just those three people and Jesus. And that challenges me, because I've read stories like this in magazines, but I've spoken to someone in recent months, and I think, how would I be if I only knew two other Christians in the whole world, and one of them, their first language was Urdu, and now we're a missionary sent to this country? And that's the reality of Jesus, that Jesus can be so real to a person that you strip away church, you strip away the hymns, you strip away everything else. They've got two other people, a Bible and Jesus. And that's enough to transform a life. There's a couple of more photos of Paul there, and one with his mum, who some of you may know. Pray for Paul. Pray for Paul, because he's reaching out to people on a one-to-one basis. He's doing what Jesus said, making disciples. And then I just want to refer you quickly to this, to these two verses in Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord, This also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them, to increase their people like a flock. Like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of people. Then they will know that I am the Lord. This is quite a unique verse in the Bible because it's one of the few verses where God specifically tells us what to pray for. God, in no uncertain terms, tells us to pray for one thing here. He says, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them, to increase their people like a flock. So this is a prayer we can use for Henley. This is a prayer we can use for England. This is a prayer we can use for North Africa. God, will you increase your people? God, will you multiply the amount of Christians in Henley? God, will you multiply the amount of Christians in North Africa? But it doesn't stop there. Because God isn't just interested in filling the pews and putting bottoms on seats. Because God says to increase their people like a flock, like the flock for sacrifices. Because the sheep are being bred for one purpose. They weren't to be family pets. They weren't to be like stocked up at Pets at Home so little Judy can go and buy a new pet lamb for Christmas. They're there to be laid on the sacrificial altar. And God is saying, ask me to increase the flock, but to increase the flock of people who are willing to lay down everything for Jesus. You look at a lot of Africa, and there's some huge churches there. You go on the bus, and they'll be playing Christian music on the bus. There's still a lot of nominal Christianity there, and there's a great need for theological teaching in lots of Central and South Africa. But the reason North Africa is unreached is because basically it's hard. It's hard geographically, a lot of it's desert. It's hard politically. It's hard because of a religion that is opposed to the spread of Christianity. So in order to take the gospel to countries like this, we need workers and we need local believers who are holy sacrifices, devoted to Jesus, who are prepared to lay down their lives and say, Jesus, here I am. Send me, as Paul said in Philippians, I think it's chapter 1, verse 20. The only thing that matters isn't whether I live or die, but Jesus is magnified in this body of mine. So I want to encourage you tonight, please, in your own Bibles, bookmark this verse. And then use it as a prayer. Use it as a prayer for this church, yes. But use it as a prayer for the saints of God in North Africa. God, will you increase the flock there? Will you cause there to be an increase in evangelical Christians across North Africa? But God, will you help them to be those holy sacrifices whose lives are just laid on the altar so that you will be glorified, so that your gospel will be proclaimed and the kingdom of God will be extended across North Africa. I'll be hanging around in the coffee area afterwards as well with my friends from Brazil. Please do come and ask us questions, talk to us. You know, we're glad to give you some pointers to pray. But can I ask you, yes, pray for Paul. Pray for the ones he's discipling. And then use this as a prayer. God, will you increase your work in North Africa? And will you raise up a flock who are prepared to count the cost and lay down their all for Jesus? Thanks, Sam. Bless you.